a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
That are listening over the internet today, we do have one bill we're going to take up. It shouldn't take too much time, but there might be some interest in this bill. This time I'm going to ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Craig?
Here.
Hayek?
Here.
Heineman?
Here.
Heinert?
Here.
Latterell?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Soli?
Here.
Tolson?
Aye.
Tyler?
Here.
Rosam?
Here.
Rounds?
Here. We do have a quorum. We did have a meeting last week. That means that we had some minutes of the meeting, and that means everybody spent the weekend reading those minutes. We have a motion from Representative Tolson to approve the minutes.
Second.
Second by Representative Latterell. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none. All those in favor of approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. Good morning again. Like I said, we have one bill up today. I'd just like to give a friendly reminder that anybody planning on testifying, please sign in at the back. Those that are testifying, please use, if you got some literature to distribute, please use our page to assist in that. And we do have a page here today. Could you please step up, introduce yourself, tell us where you're from?
Good morning, members of the committee. I'm James Geppert from Chamberlain, South Dakota.
And welcome, and thank you for the work you do. When testifying on bills in committees that I chair, I try to keep people germane on the subject matter in front of us. If you ask for a little leeway and it's something that isn't too earth-shattering, I'll grant that. All questions, all comments, all testimony will flow through the chair. This time on the docket, oh, before I get going, friendly reminder, I think most everybody has been approached on the black books, the paper end of this. Anybody who would request this that doesn't have it, let us know. And when committee is done today, leave the book up on top here so it can be collected, so the minutes can be posted in there and the agenda and the bills for next meeting can be posted in there. Any questions on that? Seeing none. Let's move on to the calendar today. Today we have one bill, like I said. This is House Bill 1018. This bill will revise certain provisions concerning elections and petitions. This time the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1018.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to state the words of point of order, but I'd like to discuss with the chairman about a potential point of order. In reviewing the bill and familiar with the circumstances, it looks like it would be more appropriate in state affairs or even in judiciary. And I know that this has had statewide attention this last year, and I'm curious if it would not be more appropriate for our committee to refer this to state affairs for the state affairs committee to deal with this.
Points taken. This committee generally handles election laws in the past. We do have a history of handling legislation that comes in from the election board or the Secretary of State's office. If during the course of testimony the committee feels that this is over their heads or should belong somewhere else, I think we can take that under advisement, but I believe we should proceed with testimony on this. Hear the testimony, the arguments, and then at that point, if there is a request for that, we will take it up. But let's hear the testimony on this first and go from there. Thank you. And again, proponent testimony on 1018. Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jason Gant, Secretary of State. When I was here the other day or last week, one of the jobs I didn't mention that I also have, and that is being the chairman of the State Board of Elections. The State Board of Elections is comprised of seven individuals. As I mentioned, I serve as chairman. The other six members, there are two county auditors, one of each political party, and then there are two other Democrats that are appointed by legislative leadership and two other Republicans appointed by leadership. So it is a committee made up of interested persons, and especially with the county auditors who are conducting elections. So, Mr. Chairman, the reason this bill comes before you is because it was on the agenda for the most recent Board of Elections meeting back in November, and at that time the Board of Elections felt that this bill, with its four different sections, should be brought to the legislature and receive legislative input and then change law if necessary. So if it pleases the chairman, I will go through this bill at the request of the Board of Elections. The first section is we're adding the words "or inactive." A couple years ago, there was a court challenge regarding some petition filings and whether inactive registered voters were allowed to sign a petition. And keep in mind, an inactive voter is someone who has not voted in the previous 4 years. They have not had any contact with the county auditor. They haven't changed their address. They haven't done anything. So basically, haven't heard a word from them. They haven't voted in a city election, school election, state election. So we have another statute, which is 12-4-34, just a couple before this one on 36, where it talks about active and inactive voters are allowed to sign a petition. So in this section one, with cleanup language to clarify that both active and inactive registered voters can sign a petition. Section two changes two parts of our election code regarding political party formations. This past year, we had three new political parties added to the state. Of course, we know about the Republican and Democrat Party, but three new ones were created, and that was the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, and the Americans Elect political party. So in that process, there were two issues that came up. One was there were petitions that were older than a year, and we felt that if there was going to be a drive for a political party, that those signatures should be required within 1 year of filing, and you'll find that towards the top of page two. Further, the Board of Elections felt that due to the request of the Americans Elect Party, they wished to terminate as a South Dakota political party. However, under South Dakota law, the only way a state political party is able to terminate is if they do not receive 2.5% of the votes cast for governor. Of course, we only elect our governor every 4 years, so there is no other way for this political party to terminate. So what we've added there on lines 9 through 12 allows the national party chairman and the state chairman to send letters to the office stating that they no longer wish to be a recognized political party and to be removed as such. The last line also requires that if they are going to terminate as a political party, they must also terminate their campaign finance filings. And that is what Chapter 1227 is all about. Section 3, this is the nominating petition area, and of course all of you are familiar with a nominating petition, so you will see at the bottom of page 2 and then the beginning of page 3 where it talks about the verification by the petition circulator. And just to show you, I mean, this is what your petition looks like. You remember the front where you have to write your name and then start getting your signatures. Well, on the back, at the very bottom, this is the verification by person circulating the petition. And this is where the Board of Elections felt it was important to clarify state law that a candidate may not notarize the verification by person circulating. When I presented the information to the Board of Elections, we, of course, have an option. We can either make it clear in law that the candidate may or that the candidate may not. The Board of Elections felt that it should be may not. Of course, it's ultimately up to the legislators to decide that final action there. The final section of this bill is Section 4, and I guess the little changes throughout, that's LRC's style and form changes, but the main changes are on page 4, lines 7 through 17. We had an issue come up last year where a bar owner was giving away free beer to sign his petition. Yes. We of course, have state laws that prohibit you from trying to buy someone's vote. However, we have nothing on the books that prohibits someone from buying your signature on a petition. So that's what you'll see in the number 6, 7, and 8, is that it clarifies that you cannot any type of bribery to sign a petition. Those, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, are the four main areas of the of House Bill 1018. And on behalf of the Board of Elections, we would encourage your support. And I would stick around for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1018.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Tellinghusen on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Officials, which consists of the registers of deeds, treasurers, and auditors, who are the local election officials in each county. And we just rise in support of Secretary Gant's bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tellinghusen. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1018. Any further proponents? Any further proponents? Seeing none, any opponent testimony on House Bill 1018? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, I will open it up now to committee questions. Any questions of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lateral.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Secretary Gant.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Secretary Gant, I was reading the last portion of this bill, and I just was going to ask for you to comment on the practice of paying somebody to gather signatures on a per-signature basis, and if that is something that should be addressed or can't be addressed.
Yes, Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, we have a state law that prohibits gathering signatures on a per-signature basis. What the law, and I didn't bring that particular area, but it talks about how you can't do it on a signature-by-signature basis, but you can do it on an hourly basis or a salary basis, that type of thing. If you remember, oh, I don't know if it was 4, 5, 6 years ago, but we had that issue where people were being paid on a per-signature, and then we ended up with some Mickey Mouse and Donald Ducks on the petitions. So that's why it's been important that we stop that from a single-signature payment.
Thank Representative you. Lateral, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you. Appreciate the information.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions. Follow-up on that one. We do know that there are people paid by the hour to gather signatures, and that is allowed under this continually?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, that is correct. You can be paid by hour, but you just can't be paid per signature.
And then in Section 6, where the new Section 6, you refer to valuable consideration, any money or other valuable consideration. Do we have a definition of valuable consideration? Because, as you note, some of us might say that a beer or a cup of coffee is not valuable consideration. So do we have that defined?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I would refer back to on page 3, line 9. That's where this language is coming from. So we've had that language of valuable consideration in law for probably a number of years. I would have to go back and look to see if we've had anything regarding the definition of valuable consideration.
If I may.
Follow up.
I think it used to be of $50 or more, and I'm just pulling that. Because we do have people who will host coffees where people can come and meet the candidate and then may or may not sign the petition, and I believe that was deemed to be not valuable, but maybe a beer is. So, I would like that distinction, please.
Mr. Secretary, can you?
I can definitely do some research and find that out. The main goal here is to not have it where people are buying for signatures. And, yeah, hosting a coffee and a gathering and then having candidates come and you pass around a petition, you know, whether or not that, I wouldn't see it as that, but if you're saying here, sign my petition, and by the way, here's a tap beer. That seems.
If I can follow, is there a distinction between hosting and the actual buying, if that makes sense. You're hosting an event versus buying for that individual.
Mr. Chairman, the fact is that you received a free beer only if you signed the petition. And I think that is where the distinction, if you're hosting a coffee and it's not a requirement, if you want this cup of coffee, it's free. If you also sign a petition, great. But in this case, it's where you only received a free beer if you signed my petition.
Okay. That's good.
Thank you.
That's
amazing. Follow up?
I'm good. Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, curious about Section 12-6-8. I'm familiar with the notary laws here in South Dakota, and the current notary laws indicate that candidates should not be doing that to begin with. Matter of fact, your office, your predecessor, and yourself previously enforced that statute on candidates who are providing petitions. Matter of fact, if correct my memory, if I'm not wrong, I believe you even stood up in court and said that a candidate that does nominate his petitions invalidates that petition under South Dakota law. And I guess the question is, do we really need to be bringing this change in South Dakota law on because of one person? And my question is it an enforcement problem with your office, or is it a problem with the statute? Because the statute seems to be clear with notaries across America and South Dakota. So I guess that's my question to you is this an enforcement problem within your office, vice a problem with the statute?
Mr. Secretary, can you answer that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, there was a recent court case where the judge was very clear that she did not know whether or not a candidate could or could not notarize the verification by person circulating the petition. So I'm not familiar with your legal background, but a judge here in the state of South Dakota has said she does not know whether or not it's allowed. And from the Secretary of State's position, anything to make it very black and white on what can and cannot be accepted for petitions is what is needed. And I believe this language that we're adding at the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3 makes it extremely clear on what may or may not be done.
Representative Nelson, do you have a follow-up?
Yes, sir. I guess my question remains unanswered. Was it not your understanding previously from the statute that you were enforcing that it was inappropriate to do so?
Mr. Secretary?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, not at all, because the practices in the past were both ways, and some candidates notarized their petitions in the past. Other cases, they did not. So the practice in the past has been both ways. I believe that going forward, especially for beginning in 2014, we should make this very clear that it's either yes, you may, or no, you may not. And if the legislature wants it to say that the candidate may notarize the petition, then I would consider it a friendly amendment on top of page 3, line 1, strike the word not.
If I can follow up on that, has the question of this notarization ever been brought before the courts prior to this past year?
Not to my knowledge, Mr. Chairman.
So this was the first legal opinion we have been able to see concerning the statute?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and it wasn't a definitive. It was a portion of a lawsuit where in the judge's ruling she commented that she did not know whether or not a candidate could or could not.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Secretary. Representative Nelson, do you have an additional follow-up?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Further questions of the committee? Okay. Representative Hinder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Grant, in reading this, I'm just wondering, like, our culturally relevant feeds that we host where we live, is that a backdoor into this, or do you see a problem with those kind of events? Maybe it's a initiated measure or for a candidate or something like that. But as part of our culture, that's what we've always done.
Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, each event that takes place during elections is going to be a little bit different. But just to speak broadly, I would go back to the example. If you're hosting an event at your house and you invite some of your neighbors to come over and you're going to tell them, I'm going to run for the legislature, I'd love your support, and by the way, here's a petition, will you please sign this so that I can have my name on the ballot? I think you can clearly distinguish between that situation and where you would host something that says, you can come to my house and I'll give you a cup of coffee only if you sign my petition. I think that's where we have to draw the line in whether or not we're going to allow those types of activities. I don't believe that we should be able to pay for signatures on a petition, and the Board of Elections also agreed with that, and I think we can clearly distinguish the type of event where you're just hosting a gathering, but there's no requirement that if you want a cup of coffee or a piece of pie, you don't have to sign the petition.
Mr. Secretary, if I can follow up on that, we've had some questions now on that particular change in the statute. Mm-hmm. Should there be a definition of a social host type of event in the statute to declare what is and what isn't, as opposed to the interpretation you're giving us today?
Mr. Chairman, I would direct you to on page 4, line 7, where it talks about the promise to pay. On line 11, again, it talks about the promise. I think this language is going in the right direction. Whether or not we want to tweak it, I mean, we can do anything we want, but or you can do anything you want. But I think it's important that we do stop this activity. And I think this language will allow us to stop that.
Further questions? Representative Hayek, do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Mr. Secretary, as we move down to Section 8 on page 4, to make any gift, loan, or promise, offer, procurement, or agreement as aforesaid to or with any person ordered to sign a nominated referendum, et cetera, et cetera. It seems to me that the distinction now that we've gotten into, okay, people, you were at this event, and did you have to sign in order to have the whatever the libation was or the food item, would we be better off stating that such events should not allow the signing of the petitions and the nominating issues at all? I'm curious as to where we're going, because I think you're creating an issue where how do you distinguish, or can we take care of that with the valuable consideration, where I would deem a glass of wine or a cup of coffee probably not valuable.
Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I would definitely not want to put in the law where you can't host an event and have signatures, because, oh my goodness, I know when I was running for the Senate, that's what I would do. I would invite friends over and say, please sign petitions, and I'll go out and have your friends sign them as well. So, no, I would not want to do that.
Thank you.
Follow up. Further questions of the committee? Representative Betty Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A related question to this. Years ago, at our local voting place out in the middle of nowhere, in the town of Population 1, Our Lady's Aid used to serve pie and coffee across from the voting place, and we are no longer allowed to do that. If this passes, would we be able to do that again?
Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, unfortunately, no. You cannot have pie and coffee at the voting booth.
Representative, if you wish to serve pie before the committee meeting,
yes,
I would allow that.
And, Mr. Chairman, my staff loves coffee and pie. So.
Thank you. Representative Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gant, the question I have in relating to, in particular, line 7 and 8 of that section 4, the question we have is, if, in your opinion, someone comes to that event and has the option of not signing that petition, that event then would be okay. Would that legitimize it, even if they offer thousands of dollars to come to that event.
Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, it's when if you're doing something, whether it's at a bar establishment or at your home, and if you're giving people $1,000 to sign your petition or $50 or whatever it may be, I think we need to stop that. Now, if you're encouraging your friends to come over and go out on a cold day and get your signatures and you have a cup of coffee and hot chocolate, I mean, you're not forcing anything there. You're not, you know, requiring that you sign, I pay type thing. So we're trying to make that a clear distinction. And sadly, you know, we hear these stories and we try and figure out what the a best approach would be. But when you have these situations, you kind of want to get them when they're small and they don't turn into something really big. And if there is some big event at an event center where you get paid to come in, I mean, I can just see where we could have a number of problems. And we want to make sure that petitions are fair. We want to make sure that elections are fair. And I hope that this will help make petitions fair.
Thank you, Mr. Do you have a follow-up, Representative? Just a clarification. To distribute, carry a petition, it's okay for salary or for hot chocolate to sign a petition unless it's a social gathering where you have the option. This law would make that, would change that. No, to the statute. So if it's a direct one-for-one sign and we will pay as opposed to a social function under the promise to procure, you don't have to sign at a social function.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think that promise to procure is the key words there.
Thank you. Further questions of the committee? Representative Lateral.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Gant, on the going back just briefly to the signing of a nominating petition, is the understanding of what is reasonable in terms of notarizing, is the general understanding that you shouldn't notarize something that you have a legitimate interest in, or what's the general, you know, rule that governs what things are notarized? Where does that come from?
Mr. Secretary, can you answer that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, in Section 18-1, is our notary laws. What we're working on with this bill is Title 12, which is our election code. What we need to do and what the Board of Elections feels we need to do is to clarify so that the public understands, so that candidates understand that they can or cannot notarize that petition. And I believe that this language makes it very clear, so there is no gray area.
Thank you.
Further questions, Representative Nelson?
No, sir.
Okay. You brought your hand up. Just checking. Okay. Any further questions? Seeing none, I'm going to close it to public testimony, and I'll open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Nelson.
I move to pass.
We have a motion from Representative Nelson to pass on House Bill 1018, seconded by Representative Lateral. Comments on that motion, Representative Nelson?
Well, I don't think there's any confusion on people's part in certain parts of this section. Secretary of State's office previously enforced that. Candidates knew that. The law is explicit with notaries. But if this is what it takes to get this enforced on all candidates and parties, then so be it. We'll have to move it and put in statute.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Further comments on the due pass motion? Any further comments on the due pass motion? Representative Lateral.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My general comment was just that I'm in agreement that although there is some statutes already saying that, you know, you shouldn't have some type of interest in what you're nominating for different areas, this is an area that it was unclear in, and I think this is a good way to clarify that.
Thank you, Representative Lateral. Further comments on the due pass motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hayek.
Just the question on due pass, and maybe you can comment a little bit on that, as this is an issue that was certainly out there in the public. Do we need, are we okay with a due pass, or do we need to bring it? Okay. All right.
And thank you, Representative Hayek. What I see in this bill is mostly cleanup legislation in the first sections and a verification. I call that a cleanup, too. We're verifying what I think many people assumed. We're putting it into statute so it's clear, addressing the issue from the circuit court. The last section is a major change, I believe, which clarifies if there's any major changes in this legislation, it would be that last section on the nominating petitions, bribing somebody or paying them to sign the petition, not to carry the petition, but to sign it. And I think that's the only major change. The rest of this we're cleaning up and we're verifying what I think most people in here deemed to understand. And so I think a due pass motion is in order on this. We will visit with the Secretary a little bit on the various questions on the social bit versus the individual procurement, but I think that is pretty well laid out in the statute, but further discussion may be had. Does that answer?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the due pass motion on House Bill 1018. Any further comments? Seeing none, the motion at hand is due pass on House Bill 1018. Those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Craig?
Aye.
Hayek?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Sully?
Aye.
Tolson?
Aye.
Tyler?
Aye.
Rosam?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye. The vote is unanimous, due pass on House Bill 1018, and I will reject any attempt to put this on the consent calendar, folks. Sorry, we are not going on consent with this one. That takes up our agenda for today. We do have some bills that had a first reading this week, a couple, and I believe today we'll have one or two more as a first reading. The reason why I know that is I think they're my bills. For that reason, on Tuesday when we meet, we will have somebody else with a gavel in hand, since I think the majority of bills may be mine. So that'll be the day that our vice chair will pretty much run the committee and bark orders at me as I'm sitting in the witness chair. Are there any comments, discussion for the good of the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Latterell.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would it be appropriate if I were to move consent for the purpose of you demonstrating how that would go?
Representative Latterell, if you wish to move consent, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I move we place this on the consent.
No. Does that satisfy your interest?
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Hayek, yes.
And that's essentially what I meant to ask, and I'm learning the process, so I thank you for the clarification,
okay.
Mr. Representative.
Thank you. I think this one here has an impact that needs to be discussed, and people want to engage on this particular bill. It's when you have something that's been in the press in the off-season, it's a lightning rod. I think everybody knows that. And although we came out of here with no nay votes, it needs discussion. People need to comment. They need to ask questions. And this is the process and how it works. Although everybody's in unanimous on this, no consent. Further discussion for the good of the committee. Questions, ideas, suggestions, or a motion? Well,
second.
We have a representative. Tyler moves we adjourn.
Yes.
Representative Rosam seconds that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Thank you.